Hi everyone, welcome back to the Indian Music Charts podcast. This is a show where we break down the hits and analyze the trends in the Indian music industry. Bollywood music hit a bit of a slump with the pandemic, making room for independent and pop music. In the post-pandemic world though, Bollywood music streams in absolute numbers remain amongst the highest across all segments. Now the sound of Bollywood though remains fairly unchanged. This week we discuss why that is, and if at all there is an incentive for the sound of Bollywood to evolve. But first, we look at the key moments on the charts.
At number 35, the highest new entry is Goddamn by Badshah and Karan Aujla, and it's produced by Hiten. This is out on Universal Music. Now, Badshah's album, Ek Tha Raja, inspired our discussion on the marketing strategies for albums and singles. So if you haven't heard that episode, please do now. After this. At number 19, the biggest climber of the week, moving all the way up from number 68 to number 19, is Gulabi Sari by Sanju Rathod and G-Spark. Now, this track, in fact, inspired last week's episode where we discussed the Marathi independent pop industry. Once again, if you haven't heard that, check it out.
Yeah, basically do your homework, everyone. Listen to all our episodes.
And number 5, there's a new peak for Teri Baaton Mein Aisa Uljha Jiya from the film Teri Baaton Mein Aisa Uljha Jiya. That's by Raghav and Tanish Bakshi, as well as Asis Kaur Sanina Mathur. That song, by the way, that film inspired our discussion on Sync. Once again, if you haven't heard that episode, definitely check it out.
They're going to throw us out.
Yeah. And at number 1 for the 13th non-consecutive week is Pehle Bhi Main from Anvil. I'm just looking at this and like, is there anything we haven't discussed? I've been considering all the big songs.
We've covered most of the tracks that have been making some noise in the last year. And
which brings us to another big climber this week. Up from number 70 to number 27 is Naina from the film Crew. Now, this is by Diljit Dosanjh and Badshah. And the lyrics have been written by Raj Ranjod. This is out on Tips Music. And this song, in fact, has been the springboard for our topic this week, which is why is Bollywood so risk-averse? And the reason why we've chosen this topic is because Bollywood, as you know, continues to be dominated by remixes, recreations, inspired tunes that sound like something you've heard before, and ballads that sound like they could have easily been released in 2019. Just take this film, for instance. Naina happens to be one of the few original tracks from Crew, whereas the movie also has recreations or remakes, whatever you want to call it, of Chuli Ke Piche from Khalnayak, mm-hmm. and Ghagra, the Ila Room song, which is also from the 1990s. I think just to start off, Athila, what's your take on this? Why is Bollywood so bereft of new ideas?
You know, the second you stop thinking about Bollywood as a subsect of the music industry and think of it as big business in itself, it kind of all really starts making sense, right? And to elaborate on this, right? Think of any big business, big tech, you know, big FMCG, whatever it might be, right? They all seldom take risks, right? Because they operate at such a big scale that even a small change in their business could literally mean crores and crores of losses, could mean many people are out of jobs, right? So they actually have to tread carefully because of the scale in which they operate. And we also know that, you know, like there's this general belief that Bollywood needs to be a spectacle, right? So the production budgets are so heavy on all of these big budget movies, right? Like the actors themselves will cost quite a bit for, you know, their time, the sets, the costume and makeup. It's such a big part of the machine that is Bollywood. And music in that sense becomes this one part that they know that they can kind of bank on to, you know, be a marketing tool, which you've spoken about multiple times, but it's also such a big revenue source, right? You sell the rights to the music. There's also a lot of cases where now they don't even sell the IP. These are license deals, right? So they can actually even hold on to IP and exploit it in more ways than one. So it's one part of the film ecosystem that they can bank on safe. The second thing to also realize when you think about big businesses, they do innovate. Okay, it's not that they don't, but how do they innovate, right? Like, think about, let's say, a company like Apple. They don't just launch a new product. They will typically create a prototype. They will test it with a few people within their company. Then they'll open it up to a small focus group. So it's layers and layers of testing before you actually see something that comes out, which is truly disruptive. So every time we might be seeing a new product launch, which is very disruptive, it has actually gone through many years of development. Even with, let's say, tech products, where, let's say, within an app, when app developers think about innovation, there's always this philosophy of you test the hypothesis with 1%, you iterate it at a 5%, and then you release it to a 10%. These are not things that you can do for non-tech platforms, which is why the concept remains the same. What is tried and tested? Where do we know success is possible? That's sort of where you bank on as a big business. And this totally explains the rise of remixes or even recreations. And it's also nothing new. From Saturday, which is what, almost 7, 8, I don't know, 10 years old, to you mentioned Teri Baaton Mein, which is, you know, on the charts right now. It's been tried and tested. These are songs that found an audience. It became popular. And at the point it releases on a Bollywood movie, for most of the audience, it's actually a new track, if you think about it. Especially tracks when you take from the 80s or like from a very different generation. Literally, most of the people who are hearing it right now, for them, it's a new track. But the sound has been tested on an audience. So you kind of know that this has worked before. Even with, let's say, blended remakes, right? For example, we have spoken about Wat Jhumka maybe being an example of a good recreation where there is aspects of old, aspects of new. But still, the fact is that there is an aspect of it which is tried and tested. So that's the second aspect of how big businesses think about innovation and why we're seeing a certain trend in Bollywood. Then the last thing, and I think this is for me one of the most important aspects of how innovation is driven in any industry. If you think about, let's say, tech, to be disruptive and to be innovative was the goal, which is why in the 2000s and 2010s, every platform that you saw came out was like, oh my God, how did they think of that idea? So many apps that came up were clearly about how do we change the world. You literally, it became a little bit of a cliche where every platform is like, we're trying to make the world a better place. But as much as we may mock that now, looking retrospectively, I think that was a really great North Star for people in the industry to think about, where do we put our efforts? Is what we're doing truly moving the needle, right? And it is very important for big companies, production companies, execs to be thinking of profitability and profit margins. But what is the metric with which we are measuring innovation? What is the way we are saying, are we truly moving this industry forward? We don't measure it, you know, and that's something we need to be thinking about as an industry. Do we measure it? I think yes. How do we measure it? Let's figure it out. And of course, this is the very business side that I've kind of spoken about. But of course, it's also music. And, you know, the very nature of Bollywood music could also be keeping it stagnant. So I'm wondering, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts.
So, I mean, you know, for anybody who's listening, or if you're in a label, because we know some people from labels listen to us, but you know, we're not just saying this. This is not just another Bollywood bitching session. I'm going to drop some facts and some stats, as always, to tell you how exactly the biggest hits from Bollywood have done so far this year. And I'm using the Spotify Top 200 chart and literally looking at all the films that released this year and the songs from them and where they peaked on the survey and like where they come from, essentially. So we already mentioned Akhiya Gulab. We mentioned Teri Baaton Mein Aisa Uljha Jiya, and Akhiya Gulab comes from the same film. Now, that is by Mitras. It was already a big hit for the Mitras. And both of these are examples of syncs. The other song from this film, Lal Peeli Akhiya, peaked at number 96. Now, this is another what we call Tanishkified version of a traditional Rajasthani folk song that you probably have heard before, several times before. There is one original track from this album by Sachin Jigar called Tumse. It peaked at number 79. But if you listen to the track, it is literally just another attempt by them to recreate Apna Banale. And two things that song have in common is that it's Kriti Sanon, who was, the actress in Apna Banale and Sajan Jigar. So literally trying to do the same thing, except this time there's no Arijit, but there's a couple of singers who are trying to sound very much like him. A fifth song from the album, Galla, by Talvinder and MC Square, hasn't charted. But once again, this points out to the fact that Talvinder and MC Square are from the hip-hop space, just like Badshah and Diljit were from the Punjabi pop and hip-hop space. This innovation, if it's coming, it's not necessarily, or the originality that's coming, it's not necessarily coming from within the industry. Next, let's take the soundtrack of Fighter, which was composed by Vishal Shekhar. The song Sher Khul Gaye peaked at number 182, and the riff, as many people observed, was like a rip-off of Staying Alive by the Bee Gees, while K-pop fans felt that it also resembled Dynamite by BTS. Another song from the same album was Ishq Jaisa Kuch, which actually peaked much higher, number 26. But if you look at the video itself, it seemed like a remake of Besharam Rang by them from another YRFL film, Pathaan, and it almost seemed like they're trying to do another one, essentially. One original and much more original sounding song, Heer Aasmani, from the film, which I'd say is the only one to qualify as something slightly innovative, was peaked at number 138. Next, I didn't even know this song hit the charts till I was doing the research for this. From Crack, which is C-A-R-K-K, Jeetega to Jeega, this action film. There was a song called Dil Jhoom, which became number 130.
Now, I have to admit, I've not heard this song.
Yeah, this song, by the way, you probably have heard, because it is another Tanishqified recreation of the Ali Zafar hit from 2011 called Jhoom.
Yes, I have. This is what I mean. You don't remember the one that comes out now, but it will live through history.
But Jhoom actually did sort of get...
It had a resurgence also.
Yeah, it had a resurgence a couple of years ago, and I think that's how they decided to include it in the soundtrack. Next, we'll take Yodha, which is the last soundtrack to generate hits this year. And this one, actually, they're both actually original compositions, Zindagi Tere Naam and Tere Sang Ishq Hua. But they are your standard romantic power ballads, the first one rendered by Vishal Mishra and the other one by Arijit. So in a sense, there is nothing new amongst all these songs that have been released and hit the charts. So like I'm saying, we are not just saying, this is not a baseless kind of discussion. These are the actual examples of what's hit so far this year. And the majority of
men lie, women lie, facts don't.
Yeah. And Shakira things. But
Great. The pun has made it.
Yeah. So apart from actually from this list, I think Fighter is the only one that's a single composer soundtrack, which by all the songs were written by Vishal Shekhar. The rest of them are all these multi-composer soundtracks. And I think that's another reason why we're seeing this kind of, what you mentioned. I mean, we're kind of like looking at this risk aversion. And one of the ways to deal with it has been to cherry pick your songs and do it like how in American soundtracks were done back in the day, where you would take, you'd get a bunch of different composers and singers to contribute to the soundtrack. And we're moving away. The soundtrack has moved away from being something that was an album focused product, where it had to have like a cohesive, sound at least, because even though, films back in the day, of course, they were advertised action, romance, comedy, and the songs would reflect that, but there would be, same composer, so there'd be some kind of coherence in it. We're moving from an album-focused product to a song-focused product today. And I hate calling them products because they are works of art. But if we're looking at it in terms of business and all of that, so what's happened as a result is every song, like you alluded to, is already seen as a hit before it has a proven hit, right? Because we're cherry-picking them in the first place. So obviously, we're going to cherry-pick what we think is going to resonate with an audience. We're not going to sort of take any chances that, have like, say, 10 song soundtracks and, let two or three of them become the huge hits and how it used to be back in the 1990s and stuff. But as a result, it seems to be that they're playing so safe by, trying to do these ready-made hit type soundtracks, that instead of creating new hits, they're just relying on old hits, which is no way to sort of like essentially build a market. So what I feel is happening, that while Bollywood might be, in absolute numbers, like we said, it's still the dominant segment, perhaps on streaming, I don't feel it's growing. You know, if any at all growth that is coming for it is probably coming from newer audience segments, you know, that are, as DSPs go into, like, you know, gain new audiences, because we still have a fairly low you know, penetration right now. Not everybody who says, for example, uses the internet is on streaming. So as a result, I think the market is going to saturate pretty soon as compared to, say, the market for, you know, independent music. And, you know, we have talked about this again in the past, how the role of the music director itself has completely diminished. You have the music teams, the music supervisors that are now increasingly getting credited, you know, for soundtracks, where they're the guys who are actually looking at what music goes into the film. And often it doesn't really have any relation to the plot. So, you know, quite often the song will be tagged on to the, you know, end of the film. So it's kind of a tricky situation. And of course, you know, it's not that there hasn't been any innovation, but that innovation tends to happen in, you know, again, in films that perhaps are not, you know, very high risk propositions. It'll be on a, like a mid budget film or a low budget film, wherein you can possibly, you know, take a little bit of risk with the kind of music that you're doing. And this sometimes might happen, like, you know, with an OTC soundtrack or something like that. Like Kala was one example. You got Amar Singh Chamkila coming up, which is again on going to be released on an OTT platform. So I guess the risks are being taken, but if they can be done on a smaller scale.
And this is a catch 22, because they are being released on a smaller scale, they don't reach a lot of audiences. So the tracks themselves never become as big.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, if we sort of return to the business side of things, I mean, who do you think should be actually take on this onus or responsibility to actively think about, you know, evolution and innovation and inventiveness when it comes to music and culture? I mean, you talked about sort of measuring innovativeness, and shouldn't it be as important a metric as, say, profit margins?
Oh, no, 100% yes, right? And I think, like, you can go back to every form of science, it'll tell you the same thing. If you don't evolve, you become extinct, right? And I think Bollywood music is a beautiful thing, and it really should continue to exist. And for that to happen, we should evolve. And to the question of whose responsibility it is, obviously, the morally correct answer is it is everybody's responsibility in the music industry. But that's way too plain vanilla. Where does innovation truly happen? And I kind of think about my own career, and I think about when have I done the most creative work? It's honestly at mid-management level, right? Because that's where you have some amount of expertise after being in the business. You don't have the fear of legacy in your mind. And often you do some of your best work at that point in stage. And so that's why I really think it's important for us as an industry to start grooming a wider pool of talent for mid-management. And what I mean is, we also need to get outside of our own echo chamber. You know, we can't have the same four people moving amongst the same four companies doing the same work, expecting different results. Honestly, you know, you and I were hanging with a couple of friends last week, and like we're hanging out with one of our friends, Lizelle, who works at Netflix. And honestly, just understanding and just hearing her talk about the product, it was just really very inspiring and made me think about, oh, why don't we think about music streaming the way Netflix thinks about, you know, movie discovery. It'll be very interesting if we start looking at people from other forms of art, whether it's, you know, platforms like Netflix, platforms like Amazon Prime, gamified apps or gaming apps, get them onto the music tech side and let them bring in a fresh perspective on how do we increase discoverability. Even A&Rs, we don't have enough A&Rs in this industry. And to always take this approach of the best person for this job is someone who's done this job before, it's very limiting. Like, who else can be an A&R? Who else can be groomed to be an A&R? It could be someone from a programming background. It could be someone from a journalistic background, right? Just anyone who understands culture with a sense of where is it moving forward is a great fit for this. And I think we really need to be focusing on increasing that pool. And when it comes to, say, senior execs, see, there I understand why you need legacy, right? Like, you need someone who understands the music business, someone who understands how to build music companies. So there I understand the need for someone to have been in this ecosystem for a very long time. But even for us as senior people in the industry, talk to artists, talk to the listener. And I think that really brings in like a fresh perspective on what is really needed. That's two things I would say we as an industry need to be doing. And then the last thing is we need to kind of change our mentality. Yes, we are music firms and we must think like it, but we also need to act like VCs. So if you can sign 10 projects in a year, if you can sign 20 projects in a year, give yourself an 80-20 rule, right? 80% of the time, we're going to do what is safe for the business so that, you know, obviously we're protecting the margins. We are making sure that people have jobs. We're able to reinvest back into the industry. But 20%, let's try and do something different. And let's accept the fact that this 20%, maybe something comes out of it, maybe nothing comes out of it. But this 20% is a future-proofing budget. And
I feel that in the past, that was exactly what labels did, right? I mean, they knew that out of every 10 artists they work with, only two of them are going to take off. Today, it seems to be like the reverse, right? They are
the expectations on them has also really increased, you know? It's because, like, you have your management of India, then you have your, like, you know, your globals looking at what you're doing. And I think that expectations even from emerging markets has become so severe that there's this immense pressure for everything to be a hit. But, you know, to flip the question, right? There are certain things that on the business side, execs need to be doing. But obviously musicians themselves are, and composers are a very powerful part of this ecosystem. What do you think they can be doing to really move the needle over here?
I mean, I feel that, like, when we talk about where the Bollywood ecosystem is today and how things function, that sometimes can be a bit of a challenge, especially if you're a hired gun for just one song, whereas if you are, say, hired as a composer, you do have a larger amount of creative control, you know. And so I feel that, you know, even when you talk about, say, associations between filmmakers and composers, which, you know, were formed in time, like, for example, Maniratnam and Rehman, or Imtiaz Ali and Pritam, you know, you have these sort of combinations. I have a feeling that's going to become rare as time goes by. And that is actually something that will be detrimental to the industry, because when you get music as an integral part of that film, which is one of the core, is the essence of Indian film, or at least Bollywood, as we know it, what will happen is that, you know, the grammar of the film will change completely, which is kind of sad, because, you know, you have certain expectations from the film as a whole. So that's one of the problems there. You know, these composers and these music directors, they started their careers together almost. So they've grown together. And one of the, you know, sort of basically the key indicators for an industry to grow is the influx of new talent. And what's happening right now is that you're not getting new talent. You're getting established talent that you're sort of co-opting in, similar to what happened in like the indie pop era. But that was more from a singer perspective. What you're having right now is, you know, basically taking, say, just like, say, somebody like Mitras, right, who had a hit song and you're sort of syncing that song. I don't know whether Mitras have managed to get more sort of, you know, whether composing for Bollywood is even on their agenda. But because they have an established fan base and because the independent side of things has now a proper and a dedicated audience, that's not something that they have to necessarily do to thrive and to have careers. And, you know, we criticized Animal several times before, but I'd say one good thing about it is that Animal did have, even though it was a multi-composer soundtrack, it did have some singers and composers who are not sort of, who are relatively new, you know. So again, not that they were doing anything particularly innovative on those soundtracks, but at least they were given a chance to do something new, as opposed to, you know, all the other things that we discussed.
And overall, as an album, it had more original music than...
It had, yeah, but not all of it was original. For instance, you know, Arjun Veli was like, it's based on an old sort of martial Punjabi song. And it's again, folk song, complete co-option, you know, used for something else. And sort of even the way it was used was problematic. But just in terms of like, you know, using, giving more singers and composers an opportunity, you know, give credit where it's due. I think T-Series had done that with Kabir Singh, and I think to an extent with Animal. And for an industry to thrive, you need new talent, which means you need new singers, you need new composers, and you need new ideas, you know. And all of that, sort of like is essential for any segment, any genre to thrive.
What you're saying is very interesting, because it sounds like both of us are talking about lack of new talent and a lack of diversity in the talent pool, both sides of the business.
Yeah, but it's not like there is no new talent. It's not like there is a lack of diversity. It's just that it's not coming out of Bollywood. Bollywood is using, watching these guys, seeing where they're being successful on their own, and then, you know, either syncing that music, recreating it, or sort of co-opting them into for these sort of multi-composer soundtracks, you know. And but, you know, we keep talking about, say, take Innovation for instance, right? Two of the songs recently that sounded like nothing else we've heard are, and hit number one in fact, were Husn by Anup Jain and Aur by, and sorry, Tu Hai Kaha by Aur. They didn't sound like anything else on the charts. Now, the difference again between Bollywood and say another and say independent music industry, I think in Bollywood the is looking for a particular type of voice, because it's mainly lip sync, and they're looking for very strong singers. And the composers and the singers have traditionally been different, although today you're increasingly seeing like a combination of like a singer composer. Now, some people will say that neither Anuv or the guys from Aur are particularly great singers, but what they are great songwriters, right? I mean, the lyricism of both those songs is really great. And we also, again, have to recognize that both these artists are at very early stages of their careers. Because you know what? I think sometimes great songwriting is more important than great singing. You know who else started off as not really being known for their singing, and in fact were sort of derided for their singing, but were always complimented for their songwriting? Bob Dylan and Taylor Swift. I'm not saying these guys are at that same level.
But it's a great point and it's a great analogy.
You know, so I think that's the thing. I mean, running sort of thread here seems to be that I don't think it's so much what music and composers can do. What I think music and composers need to do, in my opinion, my humble opinion, is that they need to stop trying to recreate a sound that's already established. Like even I mentioned those tracks from Yodha, you know, they sound like stuff that we've heard before. Even the lyrics, the arrangement, it's so like, you know, sticking to a formula. Whereas what I think music and composers can do is try and, you know, be a little bit creative and not necessarily always go with what has been the tried and tested. And on Bollywood's part, these guys need to get the opportunities, you know, they need to get chances, which I don't think they're getting from the, you know, sort of the other side of it. So I think two things are essential, wherein composers themselves say, I'm going to try something new. It will, you know, as long as it's not like, obviously it needs to be good, but, you know, if you keep giving them what they want, and by that I mean the producers, you have to recognize it's not always what the audience wants. And that I think that's pretty clear from the positions that some of these songs have, hit on the charts. As you can see, most of them haven't even cracked the top 100. The ones that have done well, the two tracks from Teri Baaton Mein Aisa Uljha Jiya, I hope I'm saying that right, but they are pop hits that have been recreated, right? So, and like you said, the whole idea of introducing it to a new audience, so it's quite likely that those pop hits were not heard by the mass Bollywood audience. But when it comes to songs like Choli Ke Peeche, you know, even if you're a Bollywood fan of the, like, you know, the, if you're a Gen Z or whatever, Gen Alpha, somewhere you probably heard this song, you know, and while they're sort of recreating it for you, they're not doing anything particularly radical with it. So, you know, it's not like it's being served up to you in a very, you know, completely new, refreshing fashion. If that was being done, like Wajhinka, for instance, we'd say, yeah, go for it. So, you know, that I think is the main issue here. So I think stop it with the remixes. I mean, even if you're doing the, because you can clearly see from the charts that what's working are the pop syncs, not the recreations of the old Bollywood hits. So you have evidence right there. So I don't understand why they keep doing.
No, I think I liked what you said about, you know, you got to stop giving them exactly what they want. The other aspect to this is very often us as human beings don't know what we want till we actually see it or hear it, right? And, you know, as you were talking, I remember reading this somewhere, and I think it's Henry Ford who said it, and it was on Innovation, that he said that if I asked people what they wanted, they would have said, I wanted a faster horse, right? You can't imagine a particular car before it's actually created. So you have to trust artists to be able to innovate their art, and they will do it in their own way. And I think it's about being able to recognize that and give it that talent and let it find its audiences.
Yeah. You know? But I also want to sort of put on a postscript to that, to what we talked about the recreations, as in the context of the business side of things and in the context of, you know, the risk averseness and the high cost of production. We must remember that the reasons why these recreations are done is because they're cheaper for the label themselves, right? Because, for instance, Tips owns the rights to Chole Ke Piche. They own the rights to Ghagra, the Ella Arun song. So as a result, and the soundtrack of Crew has been released on Tips, therefore, it's easy for them to sync it. So it becomes the cost of production also becomes cheaper, right?
Of course. So, but I would also cheaper, argue that lower. It is economic for you to work with new artists.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. I mean, but I'm sure it's even cheaper to sort of license your own song and recreate it than to get a new, completely new song made, right? At least theoretically. So again, but then, you know what? Like, it's like you're giving us cut price stuff. You're not going to get, you know, people are not going to buy it because people want quality at the end of it. As much as people might say that, you know, yeah, the public only wants whatever, you know, standard issue material, that's not necessarily true.
Yeah, no, I think preach is all I'm going to say at this point. But that's our episode, everyone. And as always, if you're on Spotify, we will leave a poll and an open question with this episode, and we want to hear from you because this is a very important topic for all of us to discuss. And on that note, we will see you very soon. We are going to take a short break for a couple of weeks, so we'll be back very soon. And until then, Amit has already given you guys a lot of homework, so please go back and listen to all the episodes that were mentioned up top in the start of this episode. See you all very soon.